for the unhappiness these words bring to you, I ask forgiveness. But I write with a full heart. Your letter, telling us of the wonderful package of food you had mailed, came at a time when my husband Charles and I were desperate. You see, our little Alexander, your nephew whom you have never seen, was very ill. The doctor had done what little he could.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Varipapas, but the child is dying of malnutrition.
But, doctor, you can't let him die. Our only child.
Oh, what can I do? Food is the only thing that will save him.
Tell me the truth, doctor. How long can he go on this way?
I'm afraid I must be frank with you. A few days, maybe a week at the most.
Oh, then there is still hope, doctor. There is a package of food on the way from my brother in America.
Well, let's pray that the package will arrive in time.
It will arrive. It must.
Package that meant life to our child. We waited day after day, days that seemed years, watching his little belly swell and the bones in his arms and legs draw the parched, sallow skin more tightly over them. We tried to be patient, Nick. I prayed. Finally, we could wait no longer. We had to make one more last desperate.
But you, the head of the United Nations Relief, certainly you must be able to do something.
I'm sorry, Mr. Varipapas. I wish I could help you, but you've already used up your allotment for the week.
But we need so little more to save our child.
Our only child, Mr. Smith. Please, just a little extra bread.
Yes, I know. Just a little extra bread. But that's our problem. It's not your child alone that needs just a little extra to save him. 9 out of every 10 children born in Greece this year are dying of the same thing, malnutrition.
It looks like the world has forgotten Greece.
Oh, it's not only Greece. It's happening in every war-torn country in the world. I'm very sorry. I wish I could help you.
But how can you let a child die while there is still food in the warehouse?
Don't you understand? If I give it to you, I must take it away from another starving child.
Then there is no hope.
Only if the nations that have the food treat this war of famine with the same sincerity and sacrifice with which they face the war of guns, and send us food immediately.
And while we wait, my child dies. No, my child will not die.
Charles, please.
Our baby will have food. I will get it somehow if I have to...
Oh, calm yourself, man, calm yourself.
Charles, no. What you're thinking of doing is wrong.
Is it right that our baby should die?
Please, Charles, let's go home. Perhaps Nick's package from America has come.
No. I am through with dreaming and begging. Go back home. And let us hope that it is not too late.
Doctor, why are you here?
Your neighbor called me. Mrs. Varipapas. Your child is dead.
Oh, no. No, my baby. My poor baby.
You can thank your God he is dead.
My baby. My poor little baby.
How long I sat there after the doctor left, Nick, trying to understand that my child was dead, trying to believe that it was good that he was dead, as the doctor had told me. This is not an easy thing for a mother to do. It must have been a long time, though, for the house was dark, and I heard someone at the door.
Come in.
You are Mrs. Vera Pappas?
Yes.
I have bad news for you.
My husband?
He was shot trying to steal food from the government warehouse.
He is dead?
Yes. You may identify his body and pick up his effects at your convenience. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I loved with all the tenderness and passion that a woman can have for a man. I shed not one tear. I'm not ashamed that I was thankful. No longer would he know hunger, worry, and shame at his helplessness. I wanted to follow him and my child. Perhaps I would have found the courage then, had not my neighbor, who had heard the news of his death, come in.
Please, please, Mrs. Vera Pappas, let us help you. Come. Come stay with us tonight.
Perhaps later. Right now, I'd like to be alone here.
I understand. Call me if you want me.
You're very kind.
Oh, I almost forgot. I met the postman downstairs.
Yes?
He gave me this package for you. It is from America.
Well, Finnegan, are you still hungry?
No, actually, kind of lost my appetite.
Indebted to the magazine Asia and the Americas for permission to use the John Frederick Mule story on India. Say, men, how would you like to make your hair look like you'd like it to look, well-groomed and without a patent leather shine? Then listen, get hep to Vitalis. Vitalis is a hair grooming preparation that really gets results in keeping dry, unruly hair under control. It's Vitalis and the famous 60-second workout that does the trick. And it's so easy. For just 60 seconds, you simply apply Vitalis to your scalp and rub briskly. Then you comb. That's all. But oh, what a change. Your hair looks well-groomed in a natural, masculine way, without that objectionable patent leather shine. What's more, Vitalis' 60-second workout loosens a tight, dry scalp, routs loose dandruff, and helps prevent excessive falling hair. Vitalis is back now at all drug counters, and once again is America's leading hair-grooming preparation. So to look your best tomorrow, get a bottle of Vitalis tonight. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening. If you have a half hour next Friday night at the same time, remember...
Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but not until the rest of the world gets fed. Oh, hello, Duffy. I was just busy back there checking the icebox. Well, we're going to do it every day now so that we don't order a lot of food, you know, that we don't need. And you can help too, Duffy. Huh? Well, by giving up wheats and oils and fats. Okay on wheats and oils, but you won't give up Mrs. Duffy, huh? Well, you have to give up something, Duffy. All of us over here have to. Because we want America to have the answer ready when the rest of the world says, give us this day our daily bread. Good night, Duffy.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.